world from the surface of the planet Earth. We're going to Earth orbit, the ISS. Bob Zimmerman is here to characterize the small hole in the Soyuz lifeboat attached to ISS. Bob, a very good evening to you. The initial response was perhaps a micrometeorite. Have they updated that with more specificity? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Well, they say they have a little more information. Both NASA and Russian engineers took the look at the hole using the robot arm, looked at the pictures and analyzed them very closely, and they came to a conclusion that I'm not sure how they could come to this conclusion, but they did. And it has to do with the Gemini meteor shower that peaked at the time the leak occurred. And that Gemini meteor shower is hitting Earth with lots of micrometeorites. So the thought was maybe one of those hit the coolant system on the surface module of the Soyuz. But according to this report from NASA, engineers from both NASA and Russia say no. They think, and let me read, both the trajectory team in Houston and the trajectory team in Moscow confirmed it was not from the meteor showers. It was in the wrong direction. Now, I haven't seen any pictures of this hole, so they might have an angle of impact from the hole, and that would tell them it's likely not coming from the direction of the meteors, from the meteor shower. But I haven't seen a picture of the hole, and that makes me wonder. I don't know how you come to this conclusion otherwise. But assuming that, this does not eliminate the possibility of a micrometeorite spill. There's plenty of those around. Nor does it eliminate the possibility of a piece of space junk hitting it. But it does continue to sound like they are looking at this as a micrometeorite hit. I wonder, as an impact, let's not say micrometeorite because it could be junk, but I wonder why they have not released any pictures yet. They might have, and I haven't found them, but I haven't seen any pictures, and I'd be very curious to see the pictures because we do remember there was a hole in a Soyuz capsule a few years back, and that hole was drilled into the Soyuz. It was sabotaged in Russia by somebody in Russia, and they never told us who. So I wonder about this. We don't have any further information. The Russians are preparing another Soyuz capsule to replace this one. If it's not found to be usable as a lifeboat, they intend to return it to Earth no matter what so they can study it more closely to see what happened. They will not get the service module back, though. But it will tell them at least if damage like this makes the capsule livable or not. We will not get a replacement Soyuz up there until February, probably. So for a period of time, if something catastrophic happens on ISS, they're going to have to improvise return on Dragon capsules. That's basically what's going to have to happen.
Quickly, Bob, because you point to not solving the drilled hole in the Soyuz. That was the time when Roscosmos was headed by a man named Rogozin. And there is a news item that Rogozin's been badly wounded in an attack in Donbass, where he was moved after failing at Roscosmos. What do we know about the attack, Bob?
We don't know much, but it did happen, and he was injured, and two others, I think, were killed. It was in a restaurant where he was celebrating his birthday. And I've got to tell you, an action like that in occupied territory is going to be, he's basically telling the partisan Ukrainian underground where he'll be at what time, and they took advantage of it, obviously. That's my speculation, but it seems pretty likely that's what happened. The underground partisans for the Ukraine are very active in the occupied territories. The Russians have never controlled those territories that they captured this past year, and leaders there face this all the time.
To a positive story about Hubble. Bob is the biographer of Universe and a Mirror, the story of Hubble, and you report, Bob, that its life is extending certainly right now to 2030, but what is proposed?
In Universe and Mirror, I said this is a telescope that will now die. People continually tried to crush it, kill it, end it, prevent it from launching, then fixing it. And it always turns out that they extend the mission and it goes farther. So Hubble is supposed to be deorbited sometime in this decade, late in this decade. No, now NASA had gotten an offer from Gerard Isaacman, who's flying private missions with SpaceX. He and SpaceX signed an agreement with NASA to study the possibility of doing a service mission to Hubble. Well, NASA has now published a request for information from the general industry asking for ideas to about a way to raise the orbit of Hubble, because that orbit will decay, and sometime in the mid-30s, the telescope will crash back to Earth, and NASA has to deal with that. But rather than deorbit it, as they previously were always talking about doing, they're now talking about ways we can raise the orbit, and they've asked now the general industry to come up with ideas, and they're saying they're not going to pay for it. I think this is an action by NASA for both legal and political reasons. Once they signed the deal with SpaceX, they decided, why don't we open it up to everybody, both for political and possibly there are even legal reasons, they have to open it up to everybody. And so they're looking now for ways to extend Hubble's life even farther. And I think commercial space is going to do this in some way or another, because the public relations alone of doing such a thing would be spectacular, especially if you want to become a robot or a servicing company of other satellites. You fix Hubble, you'll get a lot of business.
To good news, Starlink has found a way to finance 10,000 terminals to Ukraine. This is all good news, Bob, because without Starlink, much of Ukraine's defense would be very difficult with the internet down normally. So,
SpaceX volunteered its Starlink at the beginning of the Ukraine war, and they took it. But after a few months ago, Musk said, look, I can't keep offering this for free. You got to pay me. And he threatened to cut off services. He backed off from that, but he basically made the note, you guys got to come up with funds. And so the Ukraine, despite getting, tens and tens of billions of dollars from the U.S., didn't want to spend any of that money to pay for Starlink. What it did instead is it apparently has worked out a method to pay for another 10,000 Starlink terminals by getting funding from several different unnamed European Union nations. We don't know what they are, but they are paying for it. And this funding will take them, there's no contract in place, and the funding will end sometime in the spring of next year, but at least they found some funds from the European nation. They don't want to spend any of their own funds. They're getting it from other people. Starlink continues to run for the Ukraine.
The U.S. Senate and space junk. I won't say any more, but what do they have in common, Bob?
Government. Previously we reported how the FCC first and then the House with a bill have proposed ways to impose arbitrary government regulations on removing space junk. And the regulations proposed were not in consultation with the industry and were somewhat absurd, if you want to know. And we're going to restrict free enterprise seriously in space. Well, this new Senate bill, which is passed the Senate, it's not passed the House, it's kind of a pushback on that. It's basically saying that any regulation on space junk that's going to occur in the federal government has to first consult aggressively with the private sector before issuing any regulations. And so that's a good thing, but in the long run, it's still ceding federal power from Congress to the unelected bureaucracy, and it's basically telling the world that eventually the federal government's going to control the launching of future spacecraft in all sizes. So it's both good and bad, John, in the long and short term.
I don't like this, Bob. Ariana Space's Vega C rocket failed. Why?
They don't know yet, but the second stage underperformed. So during this launch, this is the second launch of the Vega C rocket. After the first stage separated, the second stage was working, but the thing didn't reach orbit. It started to drop and it finally burnt up in the atmosphere. So it's a failure. Why it failed, they don't know. They've done an investigation. This basically ends a very frustrating year for Ariana Space. They lost the Russian contracts. Other kind of space problems, and they didn't get very many launches off. They're losing business. Their Ariana 6 is behind schedule. Not a good year for Ariana Space.
Without subsidies, that's a former company. We go to Virgin Orbit, which right now is a present company, not a former company, but it's dealing with the Whitehall and the bureaucracy of the United Kingdom. How are they doing, Bob?
This story is really less about Virgin Orbit, which is trying to do, it's the first launch out of the UK from a Cornwall airport. It's less about them and has more to do with the UK's Civil Aviation Authority. They're trying to license the first launch from the UK, and it took them 15 months to issue the license to Virgin Orbit. By the way, they have not issued licenses for the 9 satellites on board, so the launch still cannot go on. The UK Civil Aviation Authority bragged about how they were able to do this in 15 months. Quote, well within the expected timescales for these kinds of licenses, putting the UK's regulatory framework on a competitive footing with other international space regulators, close quote. And that is hogwash. If the licensing process for every commercial launch in the UK is going to take this long, no rocket company is going to go to the UK. I should point out that when OneWeb lost its ability to launch from the Soyuz rocket in March, in the U.S., SpaceX was able to get its licenses taken care of in less than 6 months, probably much less than that, and they launched their first satellite 8 months later. So this is a junk on – this is – the U.K. needs to get its regulatory agency under control here.
The U.K. is having a bad patch, Bob. Nurses are out, railroads going out, the strikes are across the board making Christmas very difficult. They do not have enough energy. The budget is in arrears, and they believe they're already in recession. So I just mention that the government is aware that it's not functioning adequately. I mention that, and this might be a piece of the story.
Yeah, the CAA is just not helping matters at all in this matter.
And there has been the complaint that this is not the land of entrepreneurism. In other words, we're dealing with a culture that is accustomed to nationalizing industries and not creating private enterprise opportunities. I just puzzled. I don't know that's true.
I don't think that is true, John, in a sense. At least since the Thatcher era, the UK started to really boom with entrepreneurship. But that might have changed. And either way, their government is not helping the matter. They definitely have a lot of space interests. They're trying to build 2 other spaceports. And there are rocket companies in UK that want to launch. So there is entrepreneurship, but the government is truly not helping the situation.
All right, let's go to where it does exist. First, Relativity's Terran 1. What is that?
This is their first rocket of Relativity. It's a startup rocket company. They specialize in 3D printing everything. And they have their Terran rocket on the launch pad, and they've done some static fire tests. Their goal is to do a complete full duration static fire test on the launch pad. What that means is, you know, when they launch a rocket, the first stage burns for like 2 or 3 minutes before it cuts off and separates. They want to do on the launch pad that full burn without lifting off. No rockets have done that on the launch pad before, so this would be a first. They want to do that, and then once that's done, they'll inspect the rocket and then do that first launch. And this is, of course, in preparation for their Terran R rocket, which is a bigger rocket. Both the Terran 1 and the Terran R, you could compare them to SpaceX's first Falcon 1 versus Falcon 9, but Relativity's are bigger. And so Relativity is definitely trying to compete directly with SpaceX, and they're just a few. They're not there yet, but they're getting there.
To the subcontinent, to India. And, Bob, you report they're buying land for a spaceport, private or public spaceport?
This would be the government is buying land to build a new spaceport near the southern tip of India. This is much farther south than the government spaceport they presently have. And the government's doing this for 2 reasons. One, it would enhance the value of their own small sat rockets, but it would also enhance the value of the private small sat rockets that are beginning to startups in India that are beginning to launch. Because from this new spaceport, they don't have to do dog legs around Sri Lanka when they launch, which saves fuel and allows to launch bigger payloads. And so they're buying this to enhance their own private industry as well as their own government rockets in the marketplace, John.
And to Australia, what is Gilmore Space Technologies?
This is another rocket startup, but this is an Australian one. You know, I talk about UK, I talk about India, and here we can talk about Australia. There is a private company in Australia that's building its own small sat rocket. It's called the Eris rocket, and it's small. It's for doing small sats, little satellites. They are gearing up for their first launch in April. Now, this is already delayed by a year, but, you know, that's how these things work. But if they launch successfully, they would be the first one to use a hybrid engine. This just means it uses oxygen, liquid oxygen, but with a solid fuel. That's a variation of what Virgin Galactic tried to do on its Spaceship Two rocket and did not really succeed very well. So if they succeed with this and getting into orbit, they'd be the first to do it with this kind of fuel, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.